Great joy of mine to have my parents here, Art and Barb Pishka from Illinois. Now, you know, normally when they come, we always have so many different activities. Today, this week, we didn't have as many, but we're so glad when they come and visit, and it's a blessing, and we just have a good time together. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy for my parents. You can blame them for me, amen? Hallelujah. In Psalm 31, verse 19, the Bible says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, which you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men." So the way to tap into God's goodness is to honor him or to fear him. And the way to benefit from his goodness is to trust in him. How many know there are times when you're going to have to trust God? You're not going to understand. You're not going to see what you're about to go through, but you're going to have to go trusting God. Amen? And when you trust God, his goodness will manifest and he will work things out. Amen? The Bible works out all things for the good to them that walk after God. Amen? When you're walking with God, he will walk with you. When you stand up for God, he will stand with you, and he will defend you even in the worst situation. Because our God is good. Amen? I'm so excited that in our 10th year, we were installed as pastors on September 22nd, 2002. And I'm just so excited about the 23rd. We're just going to celebrate. Amen? We're going to have a Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah. Because when you think of what God has done for you, we're going to share stories and different things, and we're just going to praise God. And it's going to be an awesome time. But God is good. It is his character. It is his nature to be kind, to be righteous, to have moral excellence. That's what it means. God is goodness. The Bible says the earth is full of the goodness of God. How many know that there's more goodness of God happening in this earth than there is harm? Amen? The goodness of God always outdoes the harm that the devil tries to do. Amen? In other words, the goodness of God is greater. It's stronger. It's more powerful than anything bad. Amen? Did you know that God's goodness can override any bad thing? Yeah. You know, like that guy who was at the gate, I mean, not the gate, but he was at the pool of Bethesda. He was there for 30 plus years. He was bound in his body. He couldn't make it to the water when the waters were stirred, but God's goodness in flesh came along. And he was looking for a man to put him in, but God's goodness showed up, and God's goodness healed him, made him free. After 30 years of bondage, the goodness of God in one moment made him free. And God's goodness is still at work today. Amen? So let's just talk a little bit about the Lord is good. Go with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Hallelujah. And verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." A lot of times God's goodness is manifested in forgiveness and mercy. Oh, what would we do without God's mercy? Where would we be without the mercy of God? Amen? Not getting what we should have gotten. The mercy of God protected us. Psalm 119, verse 68, it says, "The Lord is good and does good." Not only is he good, but he does good. Listen, when you're good, you're good. And God is good. And wherever God is, good things happen. Amen? Amen? Because God loves to manifest his goodness. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm so excited about this. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Say that with me. Say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Now, do you think his mercy enduring forever might cover some of your mistakes? If his mercy is going to endure forever, I'm sure he can cover mistakes. Amen? And you know what? We're all susceptible to make mistakes. It's not a hard thing to miss the mark. And really, that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. It's disobeying God. And all of us, we have the potential to sin. Now, you're not a sinner. If you've been washed in the blood, you are not a sinner. In other words, you don't have a sin nature. In other words, you have been given a new nature. If anyone is Christ, he is what? A new creature. Look at your neighbor and smile real big and say, you're a new creature. And then the Bible talks about taste and see that the Lord. How many has tasted of the Lord and found that he's good? You know, when I taste something good, I want to share that. Well, maybe I don't want to share that with others. No, I'm just kidding. When you taste something good, when you come across something good, a good deal, a good restaurant, a good place to visit, what is the normal reaction that people do when they come across something good? They want to tell someone else about it. Amen? We have the greatest thing going. God is good. Say, God is good to me. And I want you to begin making it a habit. Everywhere you go, just get in the habit of telling people how good God is to you. Amen? Amen? When people are complaining and moaning about this or that, use that as an opportunity to say of how good God is. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that you can rely on God's goodness. God's goodness is faithful. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to lessen in its effectiveness. It's not going to weaken in its power. But God's goodness is here for the duration. Amen? It's available to all. Now, remember, God's goodness is not automatic. You have to receive it by faith. You got to trust in God. You got to fear God. Those are faith things. All right? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. See, now, some people say that Jeremiah was a bullfrog, but I have a different take on Jeremiah. He was prophesying, not croaking. I'm in rare form this morning. I just feel free, amen? Amen. And we're going to accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish. And you know what? We're not on a time schedule. You know why? Because in this moment, when we're together, God deserves our undivided attention. Amen. He deserves our honor and respect for the words that he's sharing with us. And, you know, this was an interesting chapter, and I read the whole chapter, but I want you to pay notice to the verses 40 and 41. God, well, we better just back up a little bit to verse 38. God is talking here. He's talking about how he's going to gather his people. And he says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I want you to notice God's into relationship. You know what? God takes ownership of the people that put their trust in him. He's not ashamed to name you as his people. Just like we shouldn't be ashamed to name him as our God. Okay? And I will give them one heart and one way. How many ways are there to heaven? Only one. That they may fear me forever for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I want you to notice that God is not a part-time God. He's making an everlasting covenant, and this covenant, this promise, this agreement that God gives to us is all about Him doing good to you. Amen? Because I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Now, what happens if someone departs from God? You know, Christianity is a choice. No one has to be a Christian. You don't have to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, but I would highly recommend it, because the alternative of Jesus not being your Savior is far worse. If Jesus is not your Savior, then hell is your destination. But thank God, if you're not in hell yet, you can change your destination. Amen? Amen. This message is for the living. And he goes on to say, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Do you think that speaks to me that God gets great pleasure of doing his people good? God loves showing his favor, his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness, his tenderness. He rejoices over the fact of the opportunity to be able to do something good for you. I love that. And I will plant them in this land, assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. So I want you to see that you can rely on God's goodness. It comes from an everlasting covenant. I don't know, can you rely on something that's everlasting? Is there anything, does the world promise anything that's everlasting? No. There's nothing everlasting in the world. Everything comes to an end as far as the world is concerned. But in God, amen, in your relationship with Christ, it goes from everlasting to everlasting. And in this covenant, God wants to do good for you. Can you see that picture? Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. How many believe that you can see God's goodness? And we're going to look at verse 13. And Moses and God are having a conversation. And Moses said, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight. Do you know where to find grace? How many know where grace is located? It's located at the throne of God. If you come before the throne of grace boldly, you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. Okay? So Moses is saying, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. See, when God's presence goes with you, you're going to have rest, not turmoil. Amen? Not trouble. He'll deliver you from trouble. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with me, carry me not up from here. I like that. Moses said, if your presence isn't going to go, I'm staying right here. In other words, Moses was committed to God's presence. He didn't want to part from God's presence. He didn't want to do anything out of God's presence. He wanted to work with and cooperate with God's presence. In verse 16, he said, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Does God know your name? You know, to keep a relationship active, there are things that you need to do, right? You need to communicate. Whether it's in words or touch, verbal, nonverbal, amen, there's ways to communicate your love for someone. And God and Moses, they're having an exchange here. And I love this. It's a beautiful picture. So Moses found grace in God's sight because he made it a practice to get into God's presence. See, God's presence is where his grace is, and God's presence is everywhere, so you can go before God anytime, any place, anywhere. And he said, "I beseech you, show me your glory." Moses might have been from Missouri. Show me. He wanted to see his glory. And he said, "I will make all my" what? All my what? Goodness. Say this with me. Say, God's goodness is his glory. Isn't that awesome? Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you." So God's goodness is his glory. And when God's glory shows up, something's happening. Something's going to happen. Something's going to give, all right? Notice he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "You cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hands while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." So isn't this a beautiful picture? Moses wants to see God's glory. He wants to go deeper with God. He wants to see more, know more, hear more. Amen? We already know that Moses had a tent outside the camp. He went there every day, and every day the presence of God would come down, and God would talk to Moses like a man talks to his friend. Praise God. So, and God is getting ready to let all of his goodness. Did you know that God's goodness can go before you and God's goodness can get behind you? And I'm going to touch on the behind part just a little bit. So God puts Moses in the cleft of the rock. He covers him with his hand. See, because when God's goodness passes by you, what do you think happens? Huh? You want to look at it? But when his goodness passes by, what happens? What kind of things happen? Good things. Yeah, you guys are quick. You're getting it. When his goodness passes by you, that means God's goodness goes before you and prepares the way. How did all those nations that were in the land that God gave to Israel, how did God deal with them? His goodness went before them. Amen. And his presence, oftentimes, they would just have to show up to the battle and God would do great and amazing things. Just look at Jericho. What made the walls of Jericho fall? God's goodness. God's goodness went before them and took care of the enemy. Are you getting this picture? If you want the enemy to be taken care of, let God's goodness go before you. How do you do that? Say, "Lord, show me your glory." And if you're sincere about your request, he will. Amen? Did God argue with Moses about Moses, that's too much for you. I'm not going to do that. Look at how willing God was to show Moses his glory. If he's, do you think he's any less willing to you? Show me your glory. So, as God went before Moses, he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and his goodness went before him. All right? Now let's go to Psalm 23. What are we talking about? You can rely on God's goodness. Say, I can rely on God's goodness. In other words, his goodness will hold you up. It'll sustain you. All right? Psalm 23. The Lord is whose shepherd? He's my shepherd. We need to take ownership of the fact that the Lord is mine. And when he is your shepherd, what's he going to do with your wants? When the Lord is your shepherd, he said, I shall not want. Why? Because you have a good shepherd. Okay? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're a sheep, what does it mean to have green pastures? It means you have an abundance of food. And if a sheep is lying down in a green pasture, what does that mean? They ate too much. Amen? And he leads you beside still waters. He is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? Okay? He restores your soul. You know, some of us, we encounter harm in our soul through life's experiences. You get hurt. You can become bitter, vengeful, unforgiving. All those things cause hurt to your soul. But God comes along as a good shepherd, and he restores your soul. God is in the restoration business. Amen? The enemy, get this clear, the enemy, only the enemy, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If there's stealing, killing, and destroying going on, it's not of God, it's of the enemy. Okay? But Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So he counteracts stealing, killing, and destroying with life, abundant life. Okay? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, God invested his name in you. And because of his name, he leads you on paths of righteousness. He leads you to do what's right, not what's wrong. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death, can't go into it, but it's the earth. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you could say your word and your spirit, comfort me. Amen? I'm building up, I'm going to do a crescendo. I'm building up to the good part. Okay? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that nice? You could be facing an enemy and you could sit down to dinner and not worry about the enemy. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Let me tell you, when God anoints you, your cup can't contain it. Amen? It's going to be too much. Now, you got to get a hold of verse 6. How many have a friend named Shirley? Shirley, goodness and mercy shall what? How long? Let me tell you, when you've got God's goodness going before you and goodness following you, you can't go wrong. You can't be defeated. You can't be overcome. You can't be stopped. You can't be deterred. Amen? Because I've got goodness before me. I've got goodness following me. I've got goodness all around me. I'm going to stay in the midst of God's goodness. His goodness will be like a shield about you. So God's goodness can go before you, and it can follow you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's as long as you're trusting the good shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord sometime? Forever. Can you rely on God's goodness? Is God's goodness reliable and trustworthy? Will it hold you up? Will it provide for you? Will it make a way where there's no way? I'm telling you, you can rely on God's goodness. You can trust God's goodness. You can lean on God's goodness, and it'll hold you up. And if you can't carry, it'll carry you. God's goodness is reliable. Amen? Go to Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. My goodness, I need goodness to go before me and hold back the clock. Look at verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Where is the land of the living? Right here, right now. Guess what? God wants to be good to you right here, right now. Amen? The only thing that delays God's goodness is our response to God. What's our response to God? Our response to God needs to be faith. All things are possible to who? To them that believe. All right? When you believe something, no matter what it is, when you believe something, you're going to see what you believe in your actions, and you're going to hear what you believe in your words. Okay? Now, I want you to believe that you can see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Amen, Brother Mike, you saw the Lord's goodness. Right, Sister Joyce? You've seen the Lord's goodness. Right, Dennis? You've seen the Lord's goodness. Amen? Right, Paul? You've seen the Lord's goodness. I'll tell you what, I could share of how good the Lord's been to me. Year after year, time after time, God's always been good to me. There were times when I wasn't good to God, but God was still good to me. His goodness is there. When I departed from God, His goodness was there waiting for me when I got back. It was the goodness of God that caused the father to pray for his prodigal son. And it was the goodness of God that when he saw him a great distance off, he went there and he ran to him. He hugged him and he kissed him. Let me tell you something. God's goodness wants to hug you. God's goodness wants to kiss you. God's goodness wants to pick you up. God's goodness wants to pull you out of the pits. Amen. Because only God's goodness can. God is so good, it makes my spit fly extra long. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Say this with me. Say, God's goodness is not done working in me and working on me. Notice this passage in Philippians. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? How many know that God has begun a good work in you? Amen. And since you're still here on this earth, that good work is not done yet. There is good work to be carried on. And aren't you glad that we have a faithful Savior who said, I'm not only going to begin it in you, but I'm going to see it through. Amen? Amen. And God has great patience. Because I know from my own life, I haven't always been faithful with God. I haven't always done the right thing. I haven't always done things that please God. But he's been so gracious. He gives me time to repent. Do you know what? It is the goodness of God that goes before someone and leads them to repentance. So in other words, God will do good things to a person who's apart from God to bring them back to him. He will woo you. God will woo you. He'll speak good things to you. Like when he showed up to Gideon. He did not say, Gideon, why are you doing this thing in the wine press? Why don't you be bold and be brave? No, but what did he say to Gideon? He said, Gideon, mighty man of valor. See, God will always speak to your future, not your present. But he, you know, God's goodness will tweak some things. So he who began a good work in you, he's faithful. He's faithful. Listen, God's got a lot invested in you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be the best that you can be. He's got plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God is not the cause of things that harm you. Period. Say, God, why did you cause that earthquake? Who's to say it was God? Did Jesus rebuke a storm? Then obviously that storm didn't come from God, because he'd have been rebuking God if it was God's storm. Amen? Not everything that happens in this world is God. God doesn't lead a person to rob banks, commit murder, to lie, or to perjure. God does not do that. God does not, he's not in that. Matter of fact, those things God hates. But I want to tell you that you can rely on God's goodness. And God's goodness is to be praised. Our response to God's goodness ought to be unhindered praise. Unrestricted praise. Well, Pastor, I'm just not that an expressive person. Then you must not know how good God is. Let me tell you, when I think of how good God is, I can hardly put it into words. Amen? Someone say, praise the Lord. God's goodness is to be praised. Let's go to Psalm 135. There are no bench warmers when it comes to God's goodness. You know what I mean by that? In other words, God is being good. He's doing great things. People getting healed, getting saved. Things doing. No. That's not going to happen. See, when we see, listen, the Bible says when someone is getting, I'm paraphrasing, but when someone gets blessed, should we be happy or sad? But too many times people say, well, how come he got that and I didn't? You just revealed the answer. Amen? If you're not willing to rejoice with others, then it's going to be hard to rejoice on your own. Amen? But Psalm 135 and verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. When God is good, we ought to magnify his goodness. When the devil is bad, we should not say anything about it. Too many times, people want to magnify what the devil is doing and minimize what God is doing. Oh, if I give my whole heart into this pastor, the devil's going to give me a hard time. So what? You already have the victory over him. Matter of fact, you already have the position that he's under your feet. So how bad can someone hurt you when they're under your feet? Amen. How bad can someone hurt you when they've got kicked out of heaven and you've got access into heaven? You have what the devil doesn't have. He cannot get back into heaven at all. His fate is sealed, but yours, amen? If you've called upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says you're saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that gives you access at the banqueting table. You've got a seat. Tell your neighbor, say, you've got a seat at the banqueting table. Amen? The marriage supper of the Lamb. But the goodness of God is to be praised. It's to be exalted. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy. Can you see something that in both the Old and New Testaments, people are praising God for his goodness? You know, praising God for his goodness did not go out with the Old Testament. It carried on, amen? And matter of fact, we ought to be more excited about God than they were in the Old Testament, because we have a better covenant with better promises. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you have eaten and are full, that means you've experienced the goodness of God to some degree. When you are eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. What should you do when you experience God's goodness? Bless him. How do you bless him? Praise you, God. Thank you, God. You're so awesome. You're so great. I love you, Lord. That's what I'm doing. I'm blessing God. We have a part in, you know, we have to bless God as much as he blesses us. Did you know that when God blesses you, he's shouting over you? It's like that's his expression of cheer and doing good. You know, one time I had a friend, he was a good friend of mine in Illinois. And he was going through a hard time. He was struggling. Things weren't working out with his job, with his future. And so, and we would get together often and we would pray. And one day while we were praying, the Spirit of God moved and all of a sudden he got happy. Because he shared with us afterwards, he said, you know, when I was praying, he said, now, how many know that God speaks to you where you are? He knows exactly how to speak to you, okay? Now, God may not speak to you this way, but he spoke to my friend this way. And my friend had a vision of Jesus in his robe, in his sandals, with pom-poms in his hands. And Jesus was cheering my friend on, saying, you can make it, you can do it, you can succeed. And that blessed my friend. See, that God knows how to speak to you. You may not see Jesus with pom-poms, but that's okay. You may not need to see Jesus with pom-poms. But he was going through a rough time, and that helped him get through. It was just God talking to him saying, look, I'm for you. I'm not against you. You know, say this with me. Say, God is for me, not against me. Then why do people get against God? Something to think about. Verse 11. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today. Is it possible to forget what God said? If you're not practicing it, it's very easy to forget about it. What is it? Out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. How does that phrase go? There you go. Out of sight, out of mind. Now, he wouldn't warn you to forget not unless it was possible to forget. there's a lot of believers. They start off on fire for God. They get saved and they're zealous. I remember another guy in Illinois. We used to call, he was like, we called him our poster child because he could tell you how many days, after a couple hundred days he would save, he could tell you exactly how many days he was saved. You ask him, say, Ray, how many days were you saved? He would rattle off 177 days or something like that. Why? He was so zealous for God, he kept track. But sometimes, how many know that we can get into a mundane routine? Oh, you know, it starts with the attitude. Here I go again. If you got, if you hear someone with that attitude, you have my permission to give them a Holy Ghost slap. Not a physical slap. In other words, say, give them a word, say, snap out of it. God is good. Listen, sometimes people need a wake-up call. Amen. You know, in a hotel, sometimes people sleep. They call the front desk and say, can you call to wake me up at 6:30 a.m.? And the front desk calls them at, you know, 6:30 a.m. They need help to wake up, amen? Sometimes Christians, they fall asleep and we forget how good God is. We forget what he did for us. And we start complaining, mumbling, and grumbling. That's a sure sign that someone is getting forgetful about what God has done. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, it's very easy to forget. Verse 12, lest whether when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and then your herds and your flocks multiply, and silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Hey, good things are happening, aren't they? Is it bad for your silver and gold to multiply? No. Matter of fact, God wants your silver and gold to multiply. He's okay with it, as long as you know where the gold and silver came from. As long as you remember that he's your source, he's the source of all good things, he's your good shepherd, and in him you shall not want. If you had no gold, no silver, you still have a good shepherd that can get you anything you need, amen, want, or desire. Verse 14, then your heart be lifted up. Notice, whose heart? Your heart. Be lifted up means to get into pride, thinking you're so good, you're so great. Oh, my hands have done this, really? Which brought you forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness. You know, if Israel was so great, how come they spent 400 years in bondage? Why couldn't they get free unless God moved? If God didn't intervene in that situation, they'd have been slaves forever. But you know what? There were some people in Israel that were calling out to God because God said, I hear the cries. I hear the cries. There were some people that didn't want to be slaves, that didn't want to be in bondage. Amen? There were a lot of people that didn't mind being in bondage because when they were taken out of bondage, they said, we want to go back to the leeks and onions of Egypt. God wanted to take them into land flowing with milk and honey, and they were concerned with leeks and onions. I'd rather have milk and honey than leeks and onions. Although leeks and onions aren't bad, but listen, there's something better. Amen? My point is, even though some of them were taken out of Egypt, the Egypt was still in them. It's like some of us. When we get saved, we still got some of the things of the world in us. Some of the way the world thinks. Some of the attitudes of the world. We still got it in us sometimes. And you know what? We got to deal with that stuff. You can't let that, listen, if you let the attitude and mindsets of the world fester in you, it'll become a sore. It'll cause infection. You gotta renew your mind. After you get born again, you gotta renew your mind. You can't live like you used to live. When you come to Christ, things have got to be different. Amen? Your attitude has to be different. Has to be different. You can't keep a world's attitude with a new nature. It's like trying to mix oil and water together. Look at verse 17. You say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Really? Well, who gave you the power and the might? But you see, what happens is you can just shift your focus. You shift your focus off God and onto the stuff. You shift your focus off praising and you put it on complaining. Just a simple shift of focus. It'll cause you to be forgetful. Look at verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to what? Get wealth. God's power, He gives you power to get wealth. He gives you a mind to think. He gives you hands to work. He gives you abilities. He gives you talents. Amen? God's not opposed to you having wealth as long as you remember He's the source of it. He gives you the power to get wealth. Why? So that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you against you this day that you shall surely perish. Notice, when they forgot God, they went after other gods. Some people's God is their job. Some people's God are their family. Uh-oh. Pastor Doug, what are you talking about? God said, if you love your family more than me, you're not fit for the kingdom. Listen, your family is good, but let me tell you something. It doesn't take God's place. Nothing and no one takes God's place. God is the first place. And too many times we let other things take first place, take precedent. He's telling us not to do this. You will perish as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Don't be disobedient to His voice. When God says, I want you to change this, humble yourself and change it. Because God is your good shepherd. He wants to lead, feed, guide, and if necessary, He'll carry you when you can't carry on. If your legs are broken, the shepherd will pick that sheep up, put it over his shoulder, and carry it to safety. We don't realize how much God has carried us. There's probably things that He's carried us through that we don't even realize. But He brought you to this point and to this place in your life. The reason that you guys are here, you're here because God brought you here. You're not here because I'm so great of a preacher. I can't save a fly from a headache. Can't heal a fly with a headache. But Jesus can. I simply give you what Jesus gives to me. I simply point you to Him. So you're not here because I'm so great or Pastor Fiona's so great. You're here because God brought you here. And God plants people where they grow best. Amen? And if God has planted you here, then grow, then flourish. Embrace what God is doing in your life. Become fully committed, fully vested into God's work. Amen? Don't forget what the good God has done. Listen, He saved you from hell. He can conquer all your enemies. He can calm your fears. As a matter of fact, He doesn't want to calm your fears. He wants them out. Perfect love comes in. When perfect love moves into your heart, there's no room for fear. Amen. God can deliver you from fear. Fear is faith in the enemy. Fear about anything, doesn't matter what. That source is from the enemy. God saved you. He died for you. He took your place of punishment. He took our chastisement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took your sickness. He took your disease. He took your sin. He came to take away the sin of the world. We have something to praise God about. We have something to be thankful of God about. Amen? We must not be forgetful hearers. What's a forgetful hearer? A forgetful hearer is like a man looking in a mirror. I'm just going to pretend that this is a mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Help me so that I will not fall. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm thinking, man, you know, this guy looks pretty good. Woo. But I walk away from that mirror and I forget what I look at. I forget what I look like. And I'm walking away not remembering. See, the mirror is the word. And if I look into the mirror and if I don't make the adjustments that the mirror is telling me to make, you know, I might walk like this. But the mirror tells me simply to make the adjustments. The mirror is the word of God. And if I don't do what the mirror says, I'm going to walk away with the wrong image. And I'm going to be thinking that I'm something that I'm not. Oh, come on now. I'm getting into it now. And I'm going to walk away portraying the wrong image to others by the way I treat them, by what I do for them, by how I speak to them. I'm doing it in the wrong image because I forgot what I look like. Because I'm thinking I'm all that. I don't need a mirror anymore because my hair is trained. When I put it in place, it stays there. Like if any of you ever watched Happy Days with Arthur Fonzarelli, hey, you know, his hair never moved. He never even sweat. He said, I tell my body not to sweat. But too many Christians, they're walking around portraying the wrong image because they forget what they heard. Because they're not doing what they heard. And you're out there, you're doing these things, and you're getting the glory and not God. But see, in that state, what happens is the enemy comes in, whose weapon is deception. And now he leads you down a path that you think you're right, but it's really a path to destroy you. Because someone who's deceived don't know that they are deceived until someone points it out to them. So you don't want to be walking around with the wrong image. You want to look to the mirror and you want to make sure that it's in your heart. Then you want to do it because when you do it, you won't forget it. It's only when you're not doing what this book says that you're going to forget what this book says. Oh, I didn't even know that was in there. I think God is speaking to us today. Some of you have the wrong image of yourself, of what you're supposed to do on this earth, and God wants to change that image. He wants you to be surrounded with his goodness. He wants his goodness in front of you, and he wants his goodness following you. He wants to make you into a goodness sandwich. God wants to make you into a goodness sandwich. If you're here today, maybe you have a negative image. Maybe because of something that happened to you in the past, it marred your image. God can heal you. He can restore you. He wants to do good because he is good. Anytime that we invite people to come up for prayer, it's because God wants to be good to them. It's not that God wants to point them out like this, no. But see, when we invite people to come up for prayer, as they come up, that's really an act of faith. Because when you're coming up, you can't put trust in yourself. And know my heart, I never, never call anybody out to embarrass them. But I call people out so that God can bless them. Amen? So, if you need God's goodness today, if there was anything that I said that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you can't change on your own. You can't change through willpower. But when you give yourself to God, you know, we sang about giving ourselves to God. What I'm asking you to do today is give yourself to God completely. Maybe it's an area that you have held on to. It's time to let that go and give it into God's hands today.